On K1, Community Connection brought to you this morning by Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move, and also by First Baptist Church. An opportunity now for me to spend a little bit of time talking city business with City Councilman Dale Copeland, who will be the new Ward 1 City Councilman, still representing his current 5th Ward right now. Good morning, Dale. Nice to have you here today.
Good morning, Charlie.
And things are moving along in Bartlesville. As I look around the community, I see everything getting ready for the official groundbreaking over on Adams, and certainly businesses being completed on US 75 on the south side of town, and some good things going on in Bartlesville.
A lot of good things happening. Yeah, you can see now, once they started, they really have been in there moving dirt and getting ready to build that up. It's going to have to be built up. It'll take some time. We watched these projects, watched Atwoods, and it's like, well, there doesn't seem to be anything happening. But
yeah,
when the metal starts coming out of the ground, it takes shape pretty quickly, as we've seen with Atwoods. Atwoods apparently is ahead of schedule and is planning to open, I understand, perhaps in the next several weeks. So that's going well. The Silver Lake Village, we're calling it, the GBT development down on Adams there just east of Lowe's, you can begin to see that opening up and begin to get a vision of what that will be in just a short time, perhaps as little as a year.
I am looking forward to that about a year time frame that the developers were talking about last month when they were before the city council. And I don't know, and I'll say this in case the economic development people are listening, I don't know how their schedule will be as far as announcing the names of all those other yet-to-be-named, player-to-be-named later type locations, whether it'll be one massive announcement or just I'll say dribble them out as people sign on the dotted line, but I think people are excited to see what's yet coming down the road.
You know, a lot of folks have worked for a lot of years, really 10, 15, sometimes 20 years, and you don't see that. People say, why does nothing happen? Somebody needs to do something. And they're not really aware that in many cases, somebody is doing something. A lot of somebodies have been doing something for years, but these folks don't come in to spend tens, 20s, $50 million just on a whim. There's a lot of time and study and preparation. A lot of that preparation looks like it's beginning to bear fruit.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the results of that now, and I think you're right. There's more to come. We'll have to wait until they're ready to make their announcements.
Yeah, I think you're right. Speaking of work and metal coming out of the ground, I drove by the entrance to Johnstone Park yesterday. It's not quite there yet, but that pavilion looks nice.
It does. We got held up a little bit. There was a missed shipment on some of the metal.
Oh, no.
It turns out we got some left-handed things when they should have been right-handed things, and they just didn't fit together properly. So that slowed things down. That's been taken care of. All the metal framework is up. I understand they're getting ready to start putting the metal sheeting on that. Again, it'll begin to look like a building and look like a structure. A lot of neat things coming together there that it's right at one of the entrances to the city.
And I was happened to be in the current police administration building yesterday, that building that we built it, and then along came a 1986 flood, and the mold and mildew has been there ever since. Yeah. The elevator smelled a little mildewy as I was going up to the chief's office yesterday, but they're not going to be in that building much longer.
They're not. We hope. Again, that got pushed back a little bit. You always plan for the best, but sometimes things happen. There's weather, there's this or that. The safety complex there at the corner of Adams and Johnstone, from north is the fire station, and south will be the new police station that will replace that old building you just described. That's coming along. Again, it's up out of the ground. Things are going in. The heating and air, the lighting, all of that is in. It's slowed down slightly, perhaps 3 weeks or so, because of some changes, particularly with the brick facing, to make that work even better. But again, we're looking at sometime in December. So the next 90 days, there's a lot of neat stuff should be coming together. And after that, I expect to see a lot more neat stuff coming together. But it's good times in Bartlesville. And again, like I say, a lot of the work that people have put it in behind the scenes is now beginning to bear fruit and show signs of what was happening.
Yeah, and normal road resurfacing this time of year. I had the announcement yesterday of one project along 14th that's going to be going on, I think, for the next approximately 60 days.
Yeah.
Rolling Meadows, I think there was some work over there.
Right. 14th Street, I was on 14th Street day before yesterday, And that has been overlaid to the point that in places the pavement is as high as the curb. That's how many times it's been refinished. So that will be what they call mill. That will be cut down, scraped off, whatever you want to call it. They'll repair the spots in the subbase that have failed, which is the reason the street on top fails. Mm-hmm. Get all that put back together and then lay down a nice, smooth, new street surface. Those things take time, but they're working on that starting this week. Anybody that normally uses that route, that is a really great way to get across town in that area, but you'll want to find a different way because you'd be very frustrated if you try to go through there.
Yeah, darn near impossible, I think. You get to exercise your GPS or just be creative in driving around town.
See a different part of Bartlesville.
There you go.
Yeah, Rolling Meadows at Swan is another one there, being really close to the highway, really close to several businesses that a lot of people have used. And I know it's in Ward 5, it's in my neighborhood. So mm-hmm. people have been frustrated when they go down there and can't get through, but I think they'll be very pleased with the results. I went over and looked at that over the weekend. The new drains, we're putting in concrete street that will be a vast improvement over what was before.
Some of those projects, I think occasionally we need to be reminded. You and I kind of get to see it every once in a while, but sometimes the rest of us forget. Need one of those signs, your tax dollars at work, the CIP dollars at work, something like that, just to say, you know, project promised, project done.
You know, it's been said by several people, so I don't know who to give credit to, but the government doesn't spend any money that they didn't take from the taxpayers. And I think we all take very seriously the proper use of that money to get the most results for it. And you're right, you can look at that. When we go to the citizens and say we'd like to have this tax or this bond and this is what we want to do with it, they look at that list and decide whether that is something they can support. And they've been very supportive, and it is important that we go back and say this is one of those items that people said they'd like to have, and here it is. We can check that one off and keep working down that list. It's a never-ending list. It's a really big list, Charlie.
We are hardly a major metropolitan area compared to many parts of the country, but for the people that you represent and then the council represents in town, you have the same percentage probably of available dollars that most other places do.
It's really important to us because it's our hometown.
Exactly. The most important street to most of us is the one we right in front of our house, or at least the one we drive to work, you know.
Right.
Recent chamber event, I think you were one of the council members mm-hmm. that was there to hear Mr. Lance last week.
Mr. Lance, Ryan Lance, the CEO and chairman of ConocoPhillips, came last week and spoke to the chamber. It was a really good meeting. You always get to see a lot of folks there, too. But I think he did a great job of explaining kind of the state of the industry, what affects this globally, what happens in other parts of the world that affect ConocoPhillips, that affect Bartlesville, but more importantly, what his vision and his understanding being in that place where he has a lot more access to information than the rest of us. And I think he said it very well, that the oil industry has always gone through cycles. We will continue to go through cycles here in the energy patch, the oil patch as we call it, but those cycles have gotten shorter and closer together. So the good news of that is if they're shorter and closer together, we'll have more, and we've had them in the past, but hopefully it won't last very long. But I think he did a great job of bringing everybody up to speed and reaffirming the commitment that ConocoPhillips has to Bartlesville and the people.
Okay. Well, we will continue our time with Dale Copeland in just a moment on K1.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, trying to cover quite a few different topic areas with Dale Copeland. Dale, community to our south making national news. I heard it on the way in at about 4 o'clock this morning, and I've heard the same audio clip from a sister of a man who was killed. Not all of the details are out yet, but between the members of the public and the police nationally, we've had quite a few news stories over the past year.
We have, Charlie. It's a tragic event from anybody's perspective. I don't think anybody, whether it's law enforcement or whether it's the individuals in the community, like to have the sort of news story that Tulsa is experiencing right now. Bringing that home, certainly our law enforcement community, I visited with our city manager and with our police chief. They're very aware of this and have been for some time, really going back to perhaps as far as the Ferguson, Missouri events of some time ago. Planning, training, it's always about training. You train and you train and you train some more so that when those events happen, they usually happen under pressure. Most of the time it seems at night in the dark, and milliseconds are allowed to make critical decisions. And we want our people to make the right and the best decisions. It's always a decision. There have been cases here in Bartlesville when perhaps something different could have happened, but our officers showed great restraint, quite often at risk to themselves to suffer harm. And we have not had that. Our hearts and prayers go out to those people in Tulsa. Obviously, again, it's a tragic situation. The police chief has reaffirmed that training has happened. It will continue to happen. Meetings, in fact, this week will discuss this very topic so that Bartlesville can continue to be a safe community, but one where everyone, including our police force, is very sensitive to all of these issues and try to avoid having anything like this in our life. It's just a bad deal. I have family in law enforcement, and we're always worried about them, but they put themselves on the line. We applaud them for that, and just offer up our prayers for their safety.
Well, and they are the members of a larger group that I'll use the, it's hardly a new comment, but there are most people run away from a fire, run away from danger, but there is a group of people that run toward it.
You're correct, and that's not an easy thing to do. I think our human instinct is to avoid problems and avoid conflict. It takes a special person who can turn that off and move toward the problem to solve the problem. And again, in milliseconds, quite often decisions are made that last for a lifetime. So it's something that we're aware of in Bartlesville. I know certainly our police force, our police chief is aware of, and we'll continue to discuss training at every level, not only in discussions, but in practicing with weapons, in learning proper use. The younger officers working with the more experienced officers, it's an ongoing, never-ending process, but we're aware of it and putting every effort into making all of that work properly.
A story that I had on the air yesterday, kind of an odd partnership the first time you look at it. Senator Inhofe, among, if not the most conservative member of the Senate, working with Barbara Boxer, among, if not the most liberal member of the Senate, getting things done on word of bills, on highway construction, and finding ways to work together.
And that is encouraging. After the last, decade or more of this partisanship and I won't do what you want to do and you won't do what, we just won't do anything. To see Senator Inhofe and Senator Boxer come together on the Water Resource Development Act, what we commonly call the WERDA bill, and put together some critical resource information and abilities and laws that will allow communities across the nation to continue with things. It's not very exciting, Charlie, but without water, we don't have a fire department able to do their job. We don't have business able to do business. We don't get water when we open our tap to get a glass of water to drink. And these things, the roads we drive on, what do we do with the water? We call it wastewater when we're through with it. All of that must be dealt with, because without that, everything else just doesn't work very well. And I applaud Senator Inhofe and Senator Boxer on the efforts that they've made, their ability to cross the aisle and work together to accomplish something for the good of the nation. Hopefully others will see that and hope to mimic that.
Water is not cheap.
Water is not cheap, perhaps cheaper in our home than in many across the nation. But as more and more state and federal regulations come to bear, that we don't have the option, we are told you will do this, it gets expensive. I don't want to bore people.
There are three important words in every law: will, may, and shall.
That's right. And the word shall is a very important word because it's got no flexibility. But the short version is we need water. We're working on water. Gila Lake is over 60 years old. It's an older lake. It's considered to be past its useful life. It's silting in. That's the reason that water around here is muddy. And we're looking for alternate sources, Copan being one of the prime, a thing called water reuse that the Oklahoma Department of Environmental Quality is working with several communities in the state to develop standards for water reuse that Bartlesville is interested in along with the Copan project. That's what they call raw water, or I think of it as fresh water, that we need to treat at the water plant to distribute for people. On the other side of the equation is wastewater. What do we do with it when we're through with it? We send it to the sewer plant. Well, great. What does that do? The standards continue to be raised on what kind of treatment, what kind of result you have to give. And Bartlesville has worked now for several years. And just to give you a quick rundown, water reuse, we think will run in the $3 to $5 million range. A Copan water transmission line, if we were able to get the water, $15 to $20 million. A wastewater treatment plant number two on the property that was purchased south of town, anywhere from $35 to $50 million. What are called FEBs, flow equalization basins, the one we're redoing on Hensley right now, $2 to $5 million each. Rebuilding the wastewater pump station, several million dollars. You put all that together and you come up with $60-100 million. It's a substantial amount of money by anybody's standard, and we don't have a choice. We have to plan and look forward and be proactive so that when an industry says, we'd like to move to your area, what are your services? What is your water? You know, we use a lot of water. Do you have that? We need to be able to say, yes, we do. Come and talk to us. And the city council and all of the staff have worked now for years, going on 18 years to be able to do that. But I say all of that to say that down the road are going to be needs when we go to the voters and say, now it's time to do this project. We have until 2019, I believe, on the wastewater project that, as you said, has to be funded and to get those results that we want. So we're trying to get the word out, help people understand. We don't think it's a problem. It's been a lot of work put into it. We think that we'll get there. A lot of good things happening, but we just got to plan and keep working at it.
And I'm just trying to read between the lines, and I'm my words, not anything you have said, but I hear that we are doing our homework, we are giving signals that at some point in time there will be a question before the voters.
Oh, without doubt. We do not have $60 to $100 million just laying around. So there will come a time. There have been a number of actions taken to prepare for that. Studies have been done, several things. We're moving down that road, but the day comes, yes, we're going to have to go to the people and say, it's time to do this project. This is what it will cost. We've been very fortunate, Charlie. I think that we spoke about the economy earlier. Because the economy has been very stagnant, or worse perhaps, state treasurer put out a report dealing with pensions and revenue funds that we don't have time to go into, I'm sure. But basically on the other side of that, costs have remained somewhat static. Quite often when we plan these things 5-10 years later when we get there, the costs have gone up significantly. Mm-hmm. So we have to plan for that. But at some point in the future, we will be talking about this. So it's a balance. Sometimes people say, well, why don't we do a project to build something? I don't know what it might be. I'll use an example because we already have them, a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing. Let's put in a swimming pool, as we have done. But you know, we don't have water to put in it. It's not, I don't know, what do you call a swimming pool with no water?
A hole in the ground.
A hole, okay. So it's all the pieces.
Or above ground, maybe, I don't know.
But all the pieces have to be balanced, and that's something that the council is very aware of, and that council and staff work together very closely to keep all of these pieces in balance to look forward and not have surprises. You read in the paper of communities that are surprised to know that all of a sudden they have to do something that they hadn't prepared for. We don't want to be there, and I don't think we are.
Just in literally less than a minute on that, on the pension system, Oklahoma, not the only state, we're not the worst state, but our pension system is underfunded.
It is underfunded. When you look at Treasurer Miller's report, they planned on earnings, and anybody that has any savings know that earnings has become a very rare thing in this world.
So we're almost to the point where I think we're going to have to start paying the banks to take our money.
Japan is there. They are. So that's something they're very sensitive about, and of course we are too, because our teachers and our safety people rely on those pensions that the state is supposed to be providing. So it's a concern. They're aware of it, and that's the first step toward a solution, is being aware of it and then finding those solutions.
Thank you very much. Dale Copeland and the Overcomers on the way next, brought to you by Voice of the Martyrs, by Brian Little, Haley and Kent, CPA.
The International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church is rapidly approaching. This year, VOM's free